Welcome to Subject Object Verb. What you're hearing is a recording of the 2019 Hong Kong protests, sent to us by the artist Samson Young for our very first episode. Today we'll revisit the sound of social unrest in further depth. I asked the curator Natasha Jinwala to organize an episode on riots, uprisings, and pogroms, which has been the subject of a project she's been working on for 5 years now.
Yeah, it's been actually quite a long process to realize this project. It has two parts which have sort of merged in a really effective way. I started with the exhibition, which was called Riots, Slow Cancellation of the Future, which took place in Berlin and in Stuttgart at IFA Gallery. And as part of it, we basically worked on a program. So it was a set of talks that included, you know, poetry and screenings and interviews with Gal Kiern and Niloufer Tajeri, who are the co-editors of this book volume, together with Christina Hunya, who's worked with us from the start of this project. And so it sort of has accumulated. And I think with this sense of accumulation also resonates really with what has been happening in the world in terms of the kinds of turmoil that you see, in terms of also the redefinitions of the riot in our midst.
In a co-edited book titled Nights of the Dispossessed, Jinwala considers riots from many perspectives and with many questions. When does a riot become a riot? Who's allowed to call it a riot? Whose voice is heard the loudest in a riot? And how does the effect of a riot ripple through communities and affect individual experiences?
This project came out of a personal necessity, really, where as a young person, I was trying to reconcile with what had happened to my home city, which is Ahmedabad, Gujarat in India, as part of what we know as the Gujarat riots or the Gujarat pogrom, you know. And I couldn't quite grasp how the conditions of life had transformed so dramatically because of the riot. And I felt the need to move towards or lean towards or call out to cultural grammars to sort of fill that void, you know. And it's a sort of the riot is often the missing chapter or the lost archive, and I've been just realizing, speaking to different people, that the act of representation is often also miscalculation. And so how do we perhaps, you know, sonically, through poetry, through different forms of publishing, really capture the nature of it each time differently? This project needs to keep moving, and it needs to continue remaining in that process of negotiation. And sound felt like that space of rupture, refusal, negotiation, with the sonorities of the riot and the riotous body. And there's this quote, right, of Martin Luther King, which is often repeated: a riot is the language of the unheard. And I find that we also need to overturn that and open up that that statement in its various parts, you know. If the riot is a language, you know, then it is always being heard. In fact, it becomes that space of trauma that for those who have witnessed it, they can never stop hearing it.
For the following episode, Jinwala asked four creators to make mixtapes that could express the sonic imprint, the rupture, and the noise of riots. These include various forms of dissent, journalistic recordings, music, and public memories of race riots, uprisings, and even spiritual forms of resistance. The mixtape makers include Arshia Haq, a writer, filmmaker, and DJ, Louis Henderson, an artist and filmmaker, Josh Kun, an author and music critic, and Atiya Khan, an arts journalist, music writer, and artist.
I think the work of artists and musicians and scholars has been really necessary in finding language. And when we think about these incredible set of mixes and sonic offerings, really, that have made their way to us, I really feel this is that approach, really, of bringing back language. And so for us to have Atiya Khan produced the mix, you know, from South Africa, or for Louis to bring in Bristol, you know, at this particular point, at this juncture, at a time of Brexit, at a time when colonial monuments are being overturned, are toppled, destroyed, and for Josh to revisit also riots in LA, from the perspective of what is happening in the US today, and within its various borders around, and also I think for, you know, Arshia as Discostan is someone I've admired so much, and for her to provide a different refrain to enter the space of the riot, also from a spiritual capacity, from a space of churning, you know, a space of another kind of cognitive and personal refrain that she adds to it. I think that's a really generous way to re-enter the subject.
Kaoleza. Kaoleza is a South African song. It comes from the townships, locations, reservations, whichever, near the cities of South Africa, where all the black South Africans live. The children shout from the streets as they see police cars coming to raid their homes for one thing or another. They say, Kaoleza, Mama, which simply means, hurry, Mama, please. Please don't let them catch you. Kaoleza mama, kaoleza mama, kaoleza mama, kaoleza mama, kaoleza mama, sheshi sabo. Nanga mapoisa zongene ndini mama, bati kaoleza mama. Nanga mapoisa zongene ndini mama, bati sheshi.
Tsitsi, this particular wave of unrest that's going on in South Africa just now, it started about 3.5 months ago with demonstration by students against the use of Afrikaans language in schools. Was that the real matter at question, do you think, Afrikaans language?
Mm-hmm. It was not the real thing. The situation has been explosive in South Africa for a long time, and any other issue could have sparked off the unrest.
Over there is the school where the explosion took place. That is when 1976 erupted, when over 10,000 children demonstrated in the street there, out of school.
And as we were driving towards Orlando West, where I'm staying, there were students along the way come up with slogans, Black Power! And everybody had to respond by lifting up your fist like that and also shouting back, Black Power! I mean, every passing car was supposed to be doing that.
Thank you. This is how the day in Marikana began. 3,000 striking mine workers occupying a hill, adamant they won't move until their demands are met. After several days of violence and failed negotiations, the police's message was clear.
If they resist, like I said, today is a day that we intend to end the violence.
It was then that the striking miners ran down the hill towards the officers. What started off as a demand for higher wages a week ago ends in a bloody massacre.
The Marikana incident was a horrendous tragedy that has no place in a democracy where all citizens have a right to protest. The entire South African nation was shocked, as nobody expected this to happen in a free and democratic South Africa.
Tibana, In the heart of a township on the outskirts of Johannesburg, people seized and stole at will, as they have done for the past few days. And there is little or no fear of the authorities here. Turmoil and anarchy have gripped some of South Africa's largest cities, and the government has had to respond with armed police and members of the military. But the looters and the rioters are fleet of foot, and rubber bullets do not seem to scare them.
Journalist and researcher based in South Africa. To briefly talk about the mix, I found the process of making this mix really interesting just due to the nature of how much material there was to draw from. South Africa has a long history of protest. It's something that we all grew up with, and it's obviously really hard to capture all of that in 10 minutes. But I chose to use a mixture of sound clips with some music that could give some brief insight. In terms of the riots focused on, I thought to look at the 1976 Soweto uprising, where hundreds, if not thousands, of school kids were shot by the police for protesting against the apartheid regime. From a post-apartheid perspective, I also wanted to look at the Marikana massacre, which happened in 2012, where miners were marching and protesting for higher wages and were ultimately shot down by the police in cold blood. The mix also focuses on Toi Toi, which is a dance of protest that came from soldiers protesting colonial powers all over Africa. It's a type of dance with the knees raised and chanting to accompany it. And the mix features three tracks that are paying tribute to it in different ways. And finally, to close off, just last year, South Africa had one of its worst protests, riots, uprising. You know, it has very different names depending on how you look at it. But between Johannesburg and KwaZulu-Natal, there were massive riots and basically looting in certain cities around South Africa. And I mean, there are always reasons behind these riots, but most of the time it all comes down to South Africa being one of the most unequal places in the world. The inequalities here are insane and very obvious. And there are a lot of people who are struggling just to survive, and things are not getting any easier for them. So people are constantly highlighting the need for better services, the need for land, the need for food, and the need for access to basic services. And I do believe that South Africans are also some of the most resilient people in the world, and that their spirit of protest will continue for a very, very long time. The wrongs of the past are yet to be corrected, and it's very reassuring to see that when an injustice happens, the people themselves are the ones to rise up.
ملثمة عينها الطليقة وحدها تركز حاضرنا.
Hello, I'm Arshia Fatimah, and for my contribution to the Riots podcast, I'm focusing on the long history of musical protest within Algeria. When we think of the idea of riot, we often think of a unilateral, anonymous body moving together towards a collective liberation. But within any such movement, there are multiple agencies and differentials amongst those represented, different stakes at hand. I was interested in the idea of the riotous body and more intimate manifestations of the idea of revolt, in this case specifically those rooted in the feminine body. This mix represents voices speaking from this lens over a period of almost 50 years, reflecting on both the struggle to break free from colonial occupation and the subsequent wake and reverberations across many different sectors of Algerian society. Anchoring the mix and threaded throughout are excerpts of poems and revolution songs from Asia Jabbar's experimental film essay, Zerda and the Songs of Forgetting. From there, we hear a few selections from the vast genre of rhyme music, which emerged in the 1920s as a social realist movement to give voice to the concerns of the marginalized. The lyrics of the songs reflected the societal developments and issues of the day, such as drinking, widespread illness, and the rise of black markets. They talked explicitly about love and sexual intercourse, sometimes incorporating resistance and nationalist messages within the matrices of these songs. Sheikh Haremeti's Sherek Katha, released in 1954, the year that the Algerian War of Independence began, is a rousing cry for young women to embrace sexual liberation and led to her being banned from recording in Algeria for decades. We hear Sheb Hasni and Sheba Zahunia's song, El Baraka, tackling similar themes. Hasni was murdered in 1994, along with other luminaries of the genre, in the following years. And the controversial nature of their music is often cited as the cause. Finally, we come to Raja Miziani's Allo Le Sistem, aligned with Algerian youth protests in 2019. Meziane currently resides in exile in Prague due to the political nature of her songs. I hope you've enjoyed this brief glimpse into the wide array of Algerian revolutionary music, and I hope it inspires you to explore this realm further.
Thanks for joining us for the city of Los Angeles, a third day of tension and violence. As night approaches, police and National Guard units are out in force. Federal troops are on standby. Violence in the city appeared to die down a bit today, but the toll is obvious. 37 people dead, more than 1,300 injured, more than 4,000 arrested. Damage estimate, $200 million and rising. 4,000 National Guard troops have joined the contingent of police and California Highway Patrol officers on the streets. More are on the way. A few hours ago, the man who's become the unwilling symbol of this outbreak of violence decided it was time to speak out. Rodney King appealed for peace.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we all get along? Can we get along?
Are you any any part in the decision to delay that mobilization, to go slow in building up for this and getting ready?
No, not at all. I've said right from the very beginning, and you know me by now, I wouldn't let politics interfere with it at all. I would do what I thought needed to be done. I do think that you have to be cautious. You don't want to be provocative. We tried very, very hard not to be provocative. And I'll tell you quite frankly, I did not expect it to break out that quickly. I've been involved this is not the first riot I've been involved in. I'm deeply involved in the 1965 riots, the 66, the 67. And I've watched them in their development. And this one, quite frankly, went much faster.
Can we get along?
Can
we get along?
So that we clear up this question, you were not suggesting that any political figures were trying to direct the way in which the police department was responding in this matter, are you?
Well, I'm just asking a question. There were comments in the community the day before about inflaming the situation. I'm asking if the chief held back intentionally on the mobilization effort because of those concerns.
Well,
the politics of that moment.
And I'm saying I wouldn't listen to it anyway.
자꾸만 시간이 흐를수록에 경찰이 그거를 제재할 수 있었어요. 자꾸 이 뉴스 미디어라든가 이런 것이 다 한인과 흑인 그 흑백까지 아니라 흑인과 한국인의 그 갈등으로 그거를 자꾸 몰아가는데 내가 생각할 때는 우리 한국 사람이 희생양이 된 게 아니냐. We were sacrificial lamb. All night we was thinking, where is the police? All night we was thinking, where is the police? All night we was thinking, where is the police? All night we was thinking, where is the police? All night we was thinking, where is the police? All night we was thinking, where is the police?
Every time I wanna go get a fucking proof, I gotta go down to the store with the two. Orient on one penny count, motherfuckers. They make a nigga mad enough to cause a little ruckus. Thinking every brother in the world's out to take. So they watch every damn move that I make. They hope I don't pull out of gap, try to rob. They funky little store, but bitch, I gotta drive.
Yo,
check it out. So don't follow me up and down your market. All your little chop suey ass will be a target of the nationwide boycott. Juice with the people, that's what the boy got. So pay respect to the black fist, or we'll burn your store right down to a crisp. And then we'll see ya, cause you can't turn to get em in the black career.
Yo, a riot baby, the fire raised me in 92. All the homies told me, fuck the police, we should go and loot. But my father told me, if they get too close, then you should shoot. I was conflicted, what's a little soldier supposed to do? What's Olympic Boulevard when you're plotting Mount Olympus? Father Zeus and mortals, no, we do not share no common interests. The neighborhood love me like the druggie love the dealer. Like the drunkie love tequila, I'm my people's Pancho Villa. Look at my drive, put my mama in fox fur. Such a good son, I'm the talk of my mom's church. She don't care that her friend's son is a doctor. Cause when he's not on call, he be up at my concerts, motherfucker. My beanie leaning to the east, I pledge allegiance to the west. I'm one legend, not deceased. Me and Far East Movement, we put the town on the map. It's like the riots all over again, a counterattack.
Can we all get along?
Building
can
to can other we all cars get along? Nearby.
Can we get along?
somebody.
Can we all get along?
The people in the
can we get along?
Debris down.
We will not tolerate beating, lynching, quirky, raping, pillaging, drugging, mass murdering of blacks. We are not your ORDINAYRAPPERNIGGERS. On our chest, this wicked ass, the press is telling us lies. We will not tolerate white men grabbing black men, taking them home, chopping the bones, and smothering them with plastic, and dipping their heads in acid. Wonder if Dahmer dies. We will not tolerate Del Gates. Hates, meets, blacks, creates mistakes, false facts, fuck that, get my neck. Surprise, wait, don't wait. Anticipate, fate, liberate, state of mind. Yes, sir, millimeter nine. We're rich enough so we can feel the mind. Here, it's clear.
This is the command.
We will not tolerate
for all of the dispatches for the areas that we've been showing you.
This is the city, Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Josh Kuhn. I'm a cultural historian and music curator. And my mix is actually an excerpt from a longer mix called Trouble Every Day, which I originally made for the California African American Museum for an exhibition about the history and legacy of the 1992 uprisings here in Los Angeles. Uprisings, of course, tied to the April 29th, 1992 acquittal of the police officers who beat Rodney King. The full mix begins with the Watts Riots and Uprisings of 1965 and tries to use music as a way of tracing links between 65 and 92. This segment that I shared is all 92 focused and begins with the voice of Rodney King on a loop into Flying Lotus's 2008 track, which he called Riot and released on the album that he called Los Angeles. Then there's a little from a press conference with the infamous LAPD chief Daryl Gates that was held live during the uprisings. The remainder of the mix sets up a dialogue between black and Korean LA and black and Korean responses to the uprisings. I put audio from the documentary Sa-i-gu, which is Korean for April 29, which featured the stories of Korean women whose stores and businesses and lives were devastated by aspects of the uprisings. I put that on top of Ice Cube's Today Was a Good Day before Cube launches into his highly controversial an anti-Asian tirade track, Black Korea, which then gets countered by the Koreatown-raised Asian-American MC, Dumbfound Dead. I give Freestyle Fellowship and Sunset Boulevard the last words. This is Los Angeles, where something is always on fire, where the edge is the center, and where there's always, as the poet Kamau Daoud wrote, someone singing asphalt songs in the midst of seagulls.
Crystal burning, ooh.
bear your hand.
Is the
You just heard a shortened edit of a 60-minute mix that I made recently in connection with a film and essay of mine called Evidence of Things Unseen But Heard. The mix, the film, and the essay all address an uprising that took place in the St. Paul's neighborhood of the city of Bristol on April the 2nd, 1980. The mix is comprised of tracks made entirely by musicians from Bristol, beginning with a record that commemorates the St. Paul's uprising, released in 1980, and ending on a track that was released just last year. And as such, we navigate from the uprising through to the present day, listening to the lasting effect that Jamaican sound systems and reggae music have had on the city of Bristol and its experimentation with and development of different musical genres. I'm just going to read a couple of extracts from the essay to give a bit more context. After the 1980-1981 riots across the UK, the Conservative government commissioned a report by Lord Scarman to inquire into the causes and effects of the disturbances. This was an official attempt at listening, the evidence of which was largely ignored by the government and the police, however. Yet some attempts were made to create so-called positive outcomes from the report as a way to stop further civil disturbances at later dates. One outcome was the introduction of policing by consent, as Richard King, the Bristol record shop owner and author, notes in his book Original Rockers, and I quote, "This initiative attempted to prioritize community relations above arrest targets, and for the first time, sound systems were tolerated rather than targeted by the police. In St. Paul's, where sound system battles were regularly held in the newly built Malcolm X Community Center, the community became partly defined by sound system culture." End of quote. So essentially, as a result of the uprising, St. Paul's was somewhat left alone by the police, and the community became responsible for self-policing. The already existing sound system culture flourished in the empty buildings of the economically restricted neighborhood. And as they were left to go on through the week and throughout the night, the parties created the space for radical experimentation and development in music. Hence, Bristol became one of the most important cities in the UK for bass-heavy, sound system-oriented music. Bristol was a purveyor of reggae, hip-hop, breakbeat, jungle, drum and bass, and of course the genre unique to the city itself, trip-hop. One of the pioneers of reggae production, and dub reggae in particular, Lee Perry, once claimed that duppies haunted the mixing desk in his studio, The Black Ark. I like to think then that dub is a duppy music, a type of music created from within a ritualistic space where the dead are animated to life through echo and delay. The echo is the ectoplasmic matter that allows for the voices of the dead to seep through the machines of the mixing desk and into the sound system. From Kingston to Bristol, from the 1970s to the present day. Could we then understand the sound system as a space of ritual, using dub plates as material imprints of past events that, when spiraled into motion, make a sound loud enough to awaken the dead?
Thanks for listening to Subject, Object, Verb. And thank you to Natasha Jindwala and all the contributors today for assembling an undeniable hour of sound. As always, feel free to write us at subjectobjectverb@artreview.com. Talk to you again next month.